continues on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan.
4:34 here in the WDUZ Fan Studio. I'm Marcus, that's Harry, and we are joined now by Andrew Brandt, the MondayMorningQuarterback.com, and the Business of Sports podcast. Always great stuff with Andrew, and always appreciate having him on. Andrew, how are you this afternoon?
The one and only Andrew Brandt.
Same to you, Harry Sidney. You are a unique soul yourself. Always good to be with you guys.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. So, man, tell me what happened. What's going on?
You know, I got all my gigs. I'm down the ESPN gig. I was among the people they called. I got the call.
I know that call. I know how that call goes.
You know, it's interesting because I re-upped with them just a couple months ago. But whatever the decisions are, you know, I talked about it on my podcast. I think what people get all caught up in is, what's the reason? I thought I was doing a good job. Everyone liked me. I never heard a bad word. You know, what's going on? Liberalism or what? You know,
yeah,
to me,
yeah,
it's like whatever end of this conversation you're on, it really doesn't matter.
Really?
Because at the end of the day, the decision's made. It's like getting a ref to change his call or whatever it is, and you just deal with it. And I'm lucky.
True.
I really am.
True.
I just have tried to create all these different avenues, what I call it, faucets running for myself in writing and teaching and running an academic program and doing a podcast,
mm-hmm,
consulting agreements with leagues, with agents, with teams. So the ESPN work was really kind of a small part of what I did. So I could look at it, step away, enjoy my six-plus years there,
yeah,
and say, you know, wow, that was a nice chapter of my life, met some cool people, enjoyed my TV experience trying to break down complex topics. And if there's more TV ahead, great. If not, I'm keeping myself busy. Certainly it hasn't affected my time at all.
Riding the wave.
Andrew Brandt here on The Fan. It's interesting, Andrew, when all those layoffs came down and we saw the news and we saw your name, it was like, you always have one of the longest introductions because
yes,
you have so
yes
much on your plate. So it's like, just one fewer thing, just slightly less of an
no,
intro.
No, but it's fewer things until he puts two more back on his plate.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it actually made me look at my Twitter bio and wow, I can fit in a little more now.
I can add some stuff. Now, I got to ask you a couple questions on it too, because you, as an agent inside management,
yeah,
we've been talking this LeVar Ball, Lonzo Ball. As a management guy, what would be your hesitation, and I'm putting you in the basketball seat, your hesitation about signing a guy when you have a dad like this?
I just think you have to be upfront going in. And listen, I dealt with this, Harry.
Yeah, I know.
And you mentioned as an agent a little bit with the Packers, and I'm going to keep that those names
keep
private.
Keep to yourself. There you go.
But I've dealt with it more as an agent, where really in those situations, and I think whoever Lonzo Ball's agent is dealing exact same thing. The player's not the client. The player's not the client. The client is the dad.
Mm.
And from an agent point of view, you're dealing with the dad. Where it gets cumbersome,
mm-hmm,
is when you have the team and the dad getting involved with the team.
Yeah.
And again, I talk about my experience. People think this never happens. I mean, it was pretty well known in Washington with Robert Griffin II.
Mm-hmm.
It's been well known in other situations with mothers even. So if I'm going into this, you know, we're going to sign Lonzo Ball. We're going to give him a four-year contract. He's going to be under contract, and we'll deal with the dad. I mean, that's really what you have to go in saying, because it's not going to be a surprise. You're not going to take Lonzo Ball
and not know he's going to say something.
Yeah, and 6 months in, look around and say, wow, the dad's really high maintenance. No, you're going to know. And we don't know these other kids and their parents or their AAU coaches that get involved. It really reminds me of my recruiting days as an agent, where so many people are involved.
You know, my only question with that would be, because it seems like he doesn't have a filter the way he needs to, because just because you want to say something doesn't mean you should say it. My whole thing, he gets with an NBA team and there's a son, and like he likes to talk about, like he did in the UCLA, the slow white guys couldn't cover. Now you're in the professional locker room and you're saying that to about a professional. you know and I know that locker room becomes an interesting place.
Yeah, it does. Listen, you and I, Harry and Marcus, we're in the media. LaVar Ball is a godsend to the media.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is a godsend. Think about how much time people spend talking about him. And when he rolls up on ESPN or Fox or whatever it is, I guarantee those ratings are spiking.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, he's a challenge, but you have to manage your client, if you're a team, manage your player. And again, I would just make the point again, people don't know how many of these players come with
baggies.
Something like LaVar Ball.
Andrew Brand here on The Fan. Okay, Andrew, let me ask you, transition to the NFL, and obviously the draft just wrapped up recently, and I saw you tweet, interesting conversation, and there was a lot of backlash for Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette when they skipped their bowl game, because they were already kind of looking ahead to the NFL and protecting their value, if you will. You look at a guy like Jake Butt, the tight end for Michigan. He got hurt in the bowl game, slipped to the fifth round, and lost a bunch of money in the process of doing so. And I saw you tweet, players will take note of that. I think that's pretty safe to say.
I think they have to. And, you know, I just noted that McCaffrey and Fournette went top eight. And if somehow, some way, they got hurt in their bowl game, or McCaffrey, who avoided all workouts, got hurt in a workout, we're not talking about them in the top eight. So what does that mean? That means they gained, not lost, they gained money by sitting out. Would I recommend it for every player? I'm not sure. I'm not sure I would for a quarterback, for a lineman. But, geez, running backs are just such a short shelf life. And you got to look. In my article, I also wrote about these running backs of the veteran caliber. This offseason is just the most telling time for running backs, where you see, go down the list, Eddie Lacy, Adrian Peterson, Latavius Murray, Marshawn Lynch, LeGarrette Blount. The highest money, the highest, is $3.5 million. That's the max, and they're all 1 year deals.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is, Andrew?
I just think these teams are deciding we're going with young backs. And when they get a certain age, it's all that wear and tear argument. And it's exactly what, believe it or not, Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, Kamara, Mixon, all these running backs the Packers took, they're going to be facing the same thing. And you tell me 6, 7, 8 years, they're going to be sitting around hoping for a one-year deal. It's sad.
You know, with saying that, you know, this sadness, now let's bring a glee of sunshine.
Yeah.
You've got Martellus Bennett in the Packers locker room. I know he's going to be great, but what challenges might someone of his nature present?
Well, he speaks his mind, and you know, you got to have a lot of gravitas in the locker room to do that. I don't know if that's going to be an issue with the Packers. You know, in my experience, we brought in big names from other teams rarely, but we did bring in Charles. And Charles is a little more quiet than Martellus.
Yes.
Charles took a while to sort of fit in, to sort of get used to Green Bay.
You mean he didn't come in and knock the gate down?
Right. Coming from Oakland, where there are no rules, and we weren't the most managed, rules-structured team like New England, but we had a lot of rules. And so I just think, like I just mentioned, New England, he's coming from the most top-down, put-the-lid-on-everything team in the league.
Yeah.
So he's going to feel his oats a little bit going to Green Bay. You know, it's going to be interesting to watch him and Aaron, because they are as free spirit as anyone in that locker room, and they are speaking their minds. And I just think they'll have great chemistry. I'm excited.
Awesome. Hey, Andrew, really appreciate the time.
Always.
I did see you tweet that you were joining at WDUZ Green Bay for a few, and somebody had a curveball question for you. What one piece of advice would you give the White House counsel? But I'm just going to skip right over that one, and let's just not touch that one.
Well, I'll say this. You talk about managing LaVar Ball.
No said.
I may tweet that. You talk about, well, how about managing that client?
Wow. There you go. Awesome right. stuff, Andrew. Appreciate
always,
it.
Always, man. Always.
Take care, guys.